This is Mythical.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Cheeto dust lives on your fingers forever, but which Cheeto lives in your mind forever? Puffs or crunchy? This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And Nicole, today we're talking about Cheetos.
I'm excited.
I'm so excited.
I really like Cheetos.
I do not like original Cheetos.
Oh.
Okay. So my judgment's about to be clouded here because 95 to 99.9% of the Cheetos I eat are going to be flaming hot.
Well, yes, I understand that. But sometimes a good old crunchy and or puff Cheeto.
Yeah, don't give away your hand,
no,
Nicole. Don't show them who you actually are.
I used to play poker in fourth grade.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That was the thing when we were growing up.
Yeah, I used to want to be a professional poker player.
What stopped you?
Reality.
Yeah, that's fair.
My dad was like, this is not a good job, blah, blah. Speaking of which, my dad, it is his birthday. And I'm going to get him a bag of Cheeto Puffs because that's his favorite.
Happy birthday, Morris.
He loves Cheeto Puffs.
Your dad's
a
Cheeto Puffs man. Interesting.
Oh, my God.
Is that... Okay, so are you...
Hidden in the couch cushions.
Are you the rebellious daughter or are you the daughter who, like, grew up wanting to be her dad?
Damn.
Like, do you want to spite your father or do you have, like, a Cheeto Edible complex?
No, I've never had a Cheeto Edible complex, but I will say I love a good puff, but... If there's two in front of me, I'm reaching for the crunchy.
You're reaching for crunchy.
Interesting. For the original. Yeah. For sure.
So speaking of childhood traumas and familial relationships, Nicole, my mother wasn't a cruel woman, but she was very cold.
She was
pretty cruel, actually.
Yeah.
But no, my brother exclusively ate Cheetos Puffs.
Nice.
And so I grew up for a long time, right? If we were at the grocery store and Cheetos were on sale, we'd get a bag. It was up to him to decide because he was older and he could threaten me. So we would always get puffs and Nicole.
Man.
I resented that from him.
You never turned on the charm and was like, please, big brother, can I please get the crunchy ones?
No. I think that works for you.
What kind of psychological warfare were you doing as a child?
Dude. I didn't have a lot of games. It was more like hide in the corner and be silent.
Oh my God. Well, honey, let me just say the amount of puppy dog eyes that got me things when I was a kid, I can't even mention, man.
We weren't that. It was just like, let a tantrum explode out of you once every 9 months, and then you go and see a child counselor, and then...
Okay.
That was more like my game.
So you were only allowed one bag of chips, and
yeah,
your brother would always pick puffs.
Yeah, yeah. So, I never really got the Cheetos Crunchy experience, and so I'd see people eating them, and I was like, wow, this must be a better...
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Like in school, like you never had a friend and you would be like, can I try one of those?
Friend? What's a friend?
Stop,
Josh.
When did you first try a Cheeto? Do you remember that? I don't remember
my first Cheeto. That's
me
not
either.
Like a big milestone.
Yeah, me either.
But I would eat more puffs than crunchy significantly.
Okay,
I always thought the crunchy were better because it was what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
But then in a metaphor of the grass is not always greener, I realized that crunchy is not where it's at and that Cheetos puffs are significantly just more pleasurable eating experience for a myriad of reasons, Nicole.
Okay,
let me count the ways.
Okay, go ahead. It's all you.
One, lighter and puffier.
Okay.
They consider what are called vanishing calories, where if you eat something that is light and puffy, you assume that it has fewer calories and you can eat more of them.
Full stop. You associate Cheetos Puffs with health.
Yeah, don't you?
No, of course not.
It's got macronutrients in it.
It's got carbs.
It's got fat.
Okay.
It doesn't have the other one. Doesn't have any protein. But it's got 2 out of 3 macronutrients in it. What more could you want?
I'm not going to give it to you, but next.
You turn that into muscle. Number two, they like... If you bite them in half, you put your tongue on it, and then it, kind of sizzles and dissolves because it's so, fun and airy.
You know what I don't like? The one thing about Cheetos Puffs is, it, gets caught in your teeth, and it becomes really gummy, but then you have a snack for later.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Ooh, number three. They're symmetrical, which I appreciate, because Cheetos Crunchy, right? No two are the same.
I love that though.
No, because Nicole, when you want to do walrus tusks, what do you do? When you grab the crunchy Cheetos, game, set, match right here. You can't do walrus tusks.
But you know what you can do with the crunchy Cheetos? You can open up the bag, pour it in your mouth. All the little different sizes go into your mouth. Fits perfectly. Crunch.
Oh, you get to jang it inside your mouth. Jenga. Like, that's smart.
Exactly.
Also, the other part about crunchy Cheetos being asymmetrical is their artistic value.
Exactly. You get sometimes like one that looks like, the Flintstones? The Flintstones guy? The club?
Herman. That's his name. Herman Flintstone.
Is it the first name?
Yeah, Herman. Everyone
There's
knows that.
There's no way his first name
his
is
name
Herman.
His name is Herman Blurman Flintstone.
No, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, dude, look it up. That's his original name.
Herman?
Maggie, look it up. Herman Blurman Flintstone.
There's no...
No, it's B-L-E-R-M-I-N. Herman Blurman. There it is.
Are you kidding
me? The man called Flintstone. Herman. So the thing about Herman Blurman Flintstone, it's actually Flintstone with an M. Who are we talking about?
Wait.
So...
This is bothering
me. No, I'm talking about the artistic Cheetos. Okay. Like the ones that resell on eBay for like $100,000. There's like a Cheeto that looks like Jesus a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I love Jesus Cheeto.
I love Jesus Cheeto. Everyone loves Jesus Cheeto. And I get the fact that if you want a Jesus Cheeto with puffs, you have to actually whittle it yourself. Do a little bit of scrimshaw.
His name is Fred Flintstone.
No, it's Herman Blurman Flintstone, Nicole. I grew up watching it all the time.
You're a monster. You're a monster.
And it's the Jetsons. It's Carl Carrington Jets. You know, I watch cartoons.
You're having one of your moments. I love puffs. I understand why puffs are popular, but a classic Cheeto has the crunch. I feel like it's cheesier.
It's denser. I think the cheese falls into the nooks better, and it gets cheesier.
Do you ever get like the super cheesy one? And you're like, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm kind of nervous with the super cheesy one. I'm like, is this going to be too much cheese for me to handle?
No way.
Ooh, maybe synapses, it's really intense.
There's no way the synapses in your brain say this is too much cheese.
No. But I like the rush, Nicole. I like the rush. You know, it's like jumping off or going down a big water slide.
Yeah,
you know?
I just like the shape and size of a Cheeto, even though it's irregular. Something about it just is more enjoyable. The puffs are too uniform. I know what I'm getting. I know I like to live a little dangerously. You know, it's like Russian roulette, but with crunchy chips.
How often are you playing Russian roulette out there? Are you going behind like the alley of the 7-Eleven in Burbank? Just spinning a revolver barrel?
No. Oh, wait. I was talking about like craps. Is Russian roulette with a gun?
Oh my God, yeah. What is... Russian roulette is definitely with a gun.
Oh.
The deer hunter, right? That's the famous
scene? Yeah. I'm sorry. I mixed up my games.
I see where you're coming from. I see where you're coming from on the asymmetricality being a good thing. Because if we look at the rest of the chip world here, there's a chip that I really dislike that prides itself on its sameness, and that is Pringles. Or Pringles, if you pronounce it the French way. And I do not enjoy Pringles. I think they are just by far an inferior potato chip.
Really?
I love the gnarled irregularity of, say, a kettle chip where they fold over on themselves.
There is something so satisfying, though, about taking, like, four Pringles and just, like, fitting it out like that. You know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, you do.
I guess it's my walrus tusk thing, but for Pringles, because you can duckbill Pringles.
That's the fun part.
You get to duckbill it. You can't duckbill a
kettle
chip.
I wonder who like invented the duckbill of a Pringle.
I'm so sorry. I ate a ton of eggs and drank a Diet Dr. Pepper right before this.
No.
Nicole. Today we asked the question, how much eggs is too much eggs to eat before a podcast? And four might be it.
You had four eggs?
Yeah, how many eggs do people normally eat in a serving? That might be a good podcast.
Yeah, I'd say two.
I'm generally 5 to 6.
Shut up.
I'm dead serious.
Do you take out some yolks?
No.
Wow.
No. If I can add extra yolk, I do that. I don't think it's bad for you, though, right?
I think eggs are fine.
Yeah.
I think eggs are totally chill.
I don't, like, know enough of the hard data to say, but I do love eating 5 to 6 eggs at a time.
You, like, love... You love it?
Yeah. Like, normally, I'll just scramble 5 to 6 eggs and eat them with my hands, but dip them in some hot sauce and ketchup. This is real. This is what I do on my weekends. I don't eat eggs most days at work.
What do you have against forks?
What?
What forks vendetta
are,
do you have?
They are against God. One.
Forks of the devil.
Forks, I think, came from like the, you know, Middle East. I think maybe the Ottomans, and they were in, or no, the Moors. Forks were from the Moors.
Okay.
And then they were in Italy for like 600 years until they eventually reached England, and England just outright rejected forks. They called them effeminate. They were like, that's an Italian thing. And then the church actually banned forks because they were like, God gave you forks. They're called fingers. We are proud, masculine Englishmen. We eat with our hands. Mm-hmm. Upsetting gender politics aside, I regret to tell you what else the Church of England was doing during that time. But I did side with them on the hands over forks issue. I will say that. I will say that.
You are
the expulsion of the Jews, that was bad. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But the hands forks thing, that's good.
That's nice. Okay, well, I learned a little bit about you.
Speaking of Cheetos.
Yeah. You know what I like to eat my Cheetos with? Chopsticks.
Oh, you're one of them.
Yeah.
You don't embrace the Cheeto finger.
I try not to because my hands are in so many other things that I don't want it to be like tainted by Cheeto dust. But I love a good cakey thumb.
Yeah. Once you get, because there's a level at which your thumb becomes fully caked in Cheeto to where you can flick it off like dried paint.
Yeah. That's the one of the reasons why I don't have long nails. I'm not lying. It's because, well, number one, I work with food. Number two, Cheeto dust under the nail.
Yeah.
Ew. No, can't do that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's your strategy for consuming the Cheeto dust off of your fingers?
I immediately stick it in the back of my, like, where my... what is this?
Oh, I've seen you do that.
What is this? What is this for?
Yeah, it's your bicuspid.
I just go...
Or like junior molar.
Like this.
Like there's a junior whopper, you have junior molars.
Where my wisdom teeth used to be. I kind of just like...
Interesting.
Like that.
I scrape it
against my teeth and I kind of put it like next to my gums.
Do you suckle? You a suckler?
I don't know.
You suckle on the thumb? Because I'll go one of two ways.
I sometimes go up like this and I go like, I have to scrape first.
Yeah.
Always scrape first because of the sheer volume of
is your You need mouth, like an abrasive.
Yeah, is your you mouth need, dry?
Who, me?
Yeah, I just heard you go...
No, I was imagining suckling on the Cheeto fingers. My own Cheeto fingers, not your Cheeto fingers.
There's probably like a subsect on like a certain website where that exists.
But now that I'm thinking it, that's like a fun thing for a romantic partner to do. Sucking the Cheeto dust off your fingers. That's the thing that I've never experienced.
That's really intimate to do to somebody.
I cannot imagine anything more intimate.
Deeply intimate.
Because we all have our own ways of doing it.
What is your way?
What? Well, I scrape against the front tooth. That's one way.
Yes, one way.
Right? And then another way is I rub my fingers together like a grasshopper's legs and you create a little just ball of
like eraser
Cheeto
dust?
Yeah. And then you just shove it in your mouth. You kind of pack a lip with it.
Oh, no.
And then the other way is just a nice suckle and thumb massage. You know, you just kind of like massage it against your tongue, lick around a little bit, explore, you know, just playing around.
This is a horrible podcast. And, who signed off on this?
So the history of Cheetos, Nicole.
Yeah, break it down.
So cheese puffs, we all know how Cheetos are made, right? They're a puffed,
not everyone, tell
corn
the people.
Product.
Yeah.
So Cheetos, methodology somewhat similar to popcorn, whereas popcorn, you take a whole corn kernel, it's got to be a certain type of corn that has been dried, and then you run it through high pressure and heat, and eventually it just kind of goes and explodes out of there. This is effectively doing the same high heat, high pressure process, but for ground corn meal.
Sure.
And so you can extrude it into any shape you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually invented by a company called Flakeall.
Flakeall.
They can flake anything. Come one, come all, Flakeall. They made animal feed. And so they were initially
love
how all these things are like aspartame was invented trying to make adhesive that was for safe windshield glass in cars. And then they like tasted it
go.
And they were like, Diet Coke.
There you go.
And so they were initially making animal feed. And then they were cleaning the equipment, trying to find a more efficient way to clean it. Found out if, you know, they made the equipment hot, ran water through it, then some corn squirted out and went and puffed into a delicious little thing, and then they ate it, and then they completely rebranded, and then about 10 years later is when Cheetos were actually invented. You had some other companies, like one called Cheese Wheeze, then you had Cheese Doodles predate Cheetos.
Oh, wow, Canadian.
I don't think so. No, those are Cheezers.
Oops.
Canadian is Cheezers. I think Cheese Doodles are American.
Okay.
But then you get actual proper Cheetos that were out in 1949, and a lot of people credit C.E. Doolin for inventing it, but I think C.E. Doolin's a scam artist. He's a shark. He didn't invent nothing, Nicole.
I'm sorry, so, CE Doolin and Doolin family. Your family sucks.
No, they're probably, well, you know, I don't know.
Liars, cheats.
But he's the inventor of Frito in the Frito-Lay partnership.
Oh, never mind.
But the actual story of the invention of the Frito, it was a Oaxacan immigrant in San Antonio named Gustavo Alguin.
Nice.
Yeah, and he, you know, obviously Frito is fried masa, effectively a fried tortilla, albeit a little bit thicker, a little bit saltier, some more whole corn in there. And then he wanted to move back to Oaxaca, so he was just trying to, like, sell his invention and all of his patents and his machines. And C.E. Doolin bought it for pennies on the dollar and turned it into multi-million dollar industry. So Cheetos Crunchy were the original, right? You can imagine, like, these gnarled little things just being shot out of this, you know, hyper-heated, pressurized little cannon. They're all gnarled looking. And then it was 22 years later in 1971, I believe, when the Puffs were finally invented. So for me, the Puffs represent, like, the space age. Nicole, this is 2 years modernity. After we landed on the moon. This modernity, it's the future!
Is it?
Everything uniform. It's like we're all going to be living in these giant dorms. Like, you've seen The Matrix?
Yeah.
I'm just going to be hooked up to the battery,
dude.
I've
skimmed it.
Just hook me up to the battery and just put me into the cloud. Upload my consciousness, you know?
I don't want to do that.
Why?
I love life.
Yeah. Do you live your own life in the metaverse? Mark Zuckerberg's there sucking on your Cheeto fingers. You don't want that?
What? I don't want anyone sucking on my Cheeto fingers.
Not even Zuck. He's the sexiest man in the
world. I don't want Zuck to suck on my fingers.
No, but I think that literally I've always been the person who doesn't want the original because I'm always like, there can be something better.
Okay.
But I'm also often wrong in that.
Yeah, I think you are too.
Thanks. Wow, God, I thought you'd be like, no, Josh, don't be so hard on yourself.
No, I agree. Like, sometimes, listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's delicious, cool, you can innovate within the initial creation. But whenever you get too out there, like, reel it in. I'm a big fan of people reeling it in. Like, too much is too much sometimes.
Getting back to your core competencies.
Yeah, I'm all about core competencies.
Right, and here in Mythical Kitchen, we're all about core competencies.
Sometimes,
churn rate and synergy.
Yeah, and algorithm.
Oh, God, we are all about the algorithm.
I don't really care about
that.
There's
other Cheeto varieties out there, though.
Hot?
And they're trying to do new stuff.
What? Tell me. Oh, remember there was a crisscross applesauce one?
Yeah, did they do those in savory, though, or were those just the Sweetos?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Because my favorite enriched puffed corn product dusted in spicy powder is not even represented in the Puffs crunchy.
It's hot fries?
Hot fries, baby.
I don't like hot fries at all.
Really?
I hate.
Why?
Hate.
Chester's hot fries. One, they're better than Andy Capp's hot fries.
They get stuck in your teeth, but not in a pleasant way that Cheeto Puffs
what
do.
What is it that they... How do they? I don't know the difference in how they would make them.
I don't know.
It's
stickier.
Almost like it's sticky. It's almost like there's no skin. Like there's no crust, right?
Yeah.
You bite into a Cheeto, there's a definitive crust where it's been fried.
Yes,
you know
I agree.
Mean?
Yes,
it's almost like this has been cooked as like a loaf and then sliced into perfect fries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have that sort of membrane on the outside.
I need that membrane. Yeah.
But there's something about the amount of fries that you can fit in your mouth. And just turn in just a paste of spicy goo that gets stuck in your teeth. Nicole, astronomical numbers on that one. The coefficient's huge.
I'm not. It doesn't serve me. I'm not a fan. I'm just not. You can do you, but I don't care. I'm proud of you. You know who you are, and I love that. But, like, not for me. Sorry.
What are you like? You like puff corn? Traitor?
No! I thought you were saying Trader, like Trader Joe's. I was like, no, I don't like any of those Trader Joe's, like, BS snacks, actually.
Trader Joe's had they had a jalapeno cheddar version of Cheetos.
Yeah, they
that
have
were
those. They're
perfectly
fine.
Okay.
They're
yeah,
fine,
they're,
but, like, I'm just gonna, you know, save a few bucks and just
That's
get
the
OG.
That's one thing that Trader Joe's, to me, can't compete on.
Their talkie equivalent, though.
Really?
I am all about their talkie equivalent.
Ooh.
I don't know what it's called, but I love
their vastly prefer their peanut butter cups. I think their
peanut
butter
cups. Oh, well, yeah. Oh,
like, all that stuff.
Their chocolate program. I'm just going to go ahead and call it that. Really good stuff.
Their flavored nut program.
Flavored nut. Oh, my God. Don't get me started on the spicy and sweet pecans.
Oh, bro, you're talking.
$4.25 for a bag.
Let's go. You cannot beat it.
David and I cleaned a bag in maybe like 14 hours. That stuff is incredible. I don't know how they do it.
Wait, they got these cashews that have like the Thai green curry.
Oh,
there's
my
a bunch of the
makrut
lime and the lemongrass. God.
Did you say cashews? Because they also
cashews.
Have almonds.
Do they?
The cashews are all,
they're
I'm
better,
all about
right?
the cashews.
They're
though,
better.
Yeah, 100%.
You know who makes some of the most underrated spice powders in the game? And you'll notice this if you watch me eat. What?
Tampico spices?
The juice?
No, that's Topo Chico.
No, Tampico's definitely a juice.
Oh, I don't. Oh, yeah, no, but it's.
I'm talking Blue Diamond.
Oh. Oh!
They love need to start Diamond. Licensing their damn powders to put on Cheetos.
So good.
Because usually Cheetos has tried to innovate in the flavor department, and I think they've really failed
in a lot of ways.
I was going to
ask you, like, what's your favorite, like, flavor derivative?
The only thing they've really had success with, I mean, Flamin' Hot is fantastic. You still get a fair amount of cheese flavor.
Of course.
Extra Flamin' Hot is good. I probably wouldn't pick it right off the bat. Pretty much just tastes like more sort of cayenne. They've done Flamin' Hot Limon, which to me was
love
a response to Takis. It's good,
so
but...
good.
I don't know. I kind of enjoy the spicy with the cheese. I think OG Flamin' Hot's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've done the jalapeno cheddar, which...
I like it, but I don't get it. It's a weird jalapeno flavor where it's like you don't know if it's fresh or it's pickled jalapeno flavor.
It's almost grassy, but it's also acidic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't what is it called? Scratch that itch that I'm looking for.
No. It's like it makes the cheesy chip a little bit worse.
Yeah.
And then I know we already decided that Cheetos aren't chips. It makes the spicy chip. It doesn't satisfy like a spicy chip either.
Yeah.
And they've done another one that I was incredibly excited for. And then I have never been this disappointed in my entire life. Other than when my son told me he doesn't want to follow in my footsteps to be a shot putter.
You don't have kids
yet. I have three children.
They're not real.
And who do I talk to on the phone at lunch, Nicole? No, the Chipotle Ranch Cheetos.
Do we have those?
Have you never had them?
I think I had them and they tasted kind of like gasoline.
Yeah, they did. They tasted industrial in a really weird way.
I didn't really like those.
I think sometimes like the smoke on a Chipotle, especially if it's a ton of liquid smoke, just gets acrid.
Didn't really like it.
And that was a bummer. And so I think that, you know, we're talking about Puffs versus Original. I do believe that Original Crunchy Cheetos are the better brand to build around.
Sure. Like you say, innovate within.
Correct. I think the Puffs, I might enjoy eating them more on a personal level. Again, I'm still jumping for Chester's hot fries. I dislike puff corn.
I was going to say, what about the puff corn? You're not about that life?
No, I know prepackaged, like already popcorn is a big market that took off in America.
Yeah,
like
the white cheddar smart food stuff is
smart
good.
Food.
That's
smart food.
Good.
Yeah, they're great. I think there's some kettle corns out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll shove down a box of Cracker Jacks if I'm feeling frosty. I love
Cracker
Jacks. Wow!
When's the last time you had a Cracker Jack?
I had Fiddle Faddle recently.
Is that the one with the cheese?
It's like bootleg Cracker Jack.
Fiddle Faddle?
Y'all don't know Fiddle Faddle?
No, I'm not white. What is Fiddle Faddle?
Nicole, you can't make Fiddle Faddle and Cracker Jack a race thing, even if
what do you mean? Cracker Jack is a race thing, isn't it?
Fiddle Faddle. It's they got little toffee peanuts in the popcorn.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it's a delight.
Okay,
like
I'm
less,
sorry.
You know, but they don't say, buy me some peanuts and Fiddle Faddle in the song. So nobody knows what Fiddle Faddle is.
I'm sorry,
but
John.
No, I just like pretty actively don't like popcorns. I don't like puffcorn.
Uh-huh. What about the Cheetos mix-ups? You ever had a Cheetos?
What's the Cheetos
mix-up? It was like the equivalent
of
Chex
Berries,
Mix. Yeah. It was like the equivalent of Chex Mix, and it just had crunchy. It had the weird basketball-looking thing with the little holes in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It had some puffs and some other weird nub. I don't even know what that nub is, but with these guys.
Oh, yeah. Wait, there's no pretzels in there, are there?
No.
Oh, thank God.
I think there's pretzels.
Thank God.
Ooh, we should talk about the best thing in a bag of Chex Mixes.
Oh, that'd be a good.
That's
what's
a good
the best
one.
Chex? Yeah, Maggie, write that down.
Maggie, what's the best
Please.
Chex Mix part? What's
Please.
The best part of Chex Mix? It's the friendships. Right, Josh? It's the friendships.
That's right, Nicole.
Did you know, Josh, that online a Cheeto shaped like Harambe, the beloved gorilla, sold for $99,000 on eBay?
Is it still? Can I still bid?
I don't think so. This was in 2017.
Well, what's the resale value? Is it an NFT?
Why don't we? I don't want to ever say the word NFT on this podcast again.
Why?
I have made a referendum.
We are the Crypto.com, a hot dog is a sandwich podcast brought to you by Solana, Nicole.
And what is Solana? Will,
I don't know. They make fake money, but people buy it.
Josh, this is a world I do not want any part in, okay?
No.
You dabble. You
I don't even know
battle,
what the word. I don't even know what the word escrow means yet, man. And I don't want to Google it. And I also don't want anyone to tell me what it means.
It means the bank owns it.
What?
what an escrow
I thought
means.
It was like a bunch of black birds.
That's
the escrows. There's escrows over there.
Nicole,
escrows.
Okay,
if you were to try and introduce another flavor to the Cheetos line. What do you think? Because right now, they are solely resting on the Flamin' Hot Cheeto laurels.
Okay.
Crunchy Cheetos, Puffs, Original, all that, they're done.
Loaded Nacho.
Loaded Nacho? That's okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, honestly, like a partnership with Taco Bell. Taco Bell already had the Doritos thing. That was a huge boon to both of them.
Sure.
Right? And so if you could partner with
Cacio
like a Jack
Pepe.
In the Box.
Cacio Pepe. Cheetos.
No, but that's too upmarket. That's like if you're selling snacks in the mainstream snack market, there's actually a study done about the like amount of words that are used on upmarket versus downmarket snacks. Because if you're selling a $5 bag, say like Kettle Brand chips, right? They're the perfect person to do cacio e pepe, right? You know, just more words, more things that people wouldn't understand.
Cacio e pepe. I can see it on the label.
They would have to say like, Parmesan, you know, like they just have to spell it out. Sure. They can't have any exclusive language on there because it's downmarket.
So my current ideas right now, elevator pitch, we have loaded nacho, cacio pepe got killed.
Yeah, cacio pepe is done. We've 86 the cacio pepe on the Cheetos.
I don't know.
What are like, I mean like.
Burger, patty melt, onions,
I feel like something
in
like
and out.
Queso. Queso is a hot button word right now.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, I know queso is technically and non-technically Spanish for cheese. I believe also in Tagalog, they use the term queso.
Yes.
The Spanish influence. No, but yes. I'm saying like, you know, there seems to be some sort of like hot button millennial Gen Z facing flavor right there that they need.
Do I know what it is?
Maybe you throw an actual name of a pepper in there. Maybe you throw a habanero. Maybe you throw a ghost pepper in there and then combine
that
with
anything. How much habanero stuff can a girl handle?
Queso.
I keep seeing it.
I know.
I don't want it oversaturated. And it's not even spicy.
No, it's never actually spicy. Yeah. Because you can
it's orange. It's orange.
You can only reach a certain level of spice.
Until it's like illegal to sell.
I mean, not like illegal, just people won't be able to handle it, right? You can't have a mass market audience. And so the place to go after that is sour. I mean, Takis already got that with their nitro
dill
turbo.
I think I made dill pickle Cheetos.
Did you?
I did.
Oh my God, you did.
I did.
Were they good?
They were so delicious.
I'm trying to think of what I want from my own Cheeto experience. Mm. Because I love, like, what are your favorite chips? Like, your favorite chip flavors outside of Cheetos?
Well, that's a loaded question. I love all chips. I find I'm an equal opportunist chip eater.
Oh my God, get at it. No,
Okay, hold on. Let me talk. I love Kettle Brand. I grew up eating their Dijon mustard. Is it their honey mustard chip?
The honey Dijon Kettle Brand to me is the single greatest potato chip of all time.
I think it's probably my favorite. I also love limon chips. I also love a good ridged salt and pepper as well.
Oh, classic.
I'm a salt. Honestly, a salt and pepper is first with the ridges. Mm-hmm. Kettle Brand ridges, salt and pepper. Honey Dijon. And then, I don't like salt and vinegar.
Backyard barbecue, like you don't like that type of stuff.
I don't
stuff.
Care for barbecue
chips.
What about
like the Korean barbecue?
Korean barbecue's
Yeah.
It's a little bit too sweet for me.
I feel that.
I'm just going to say those two. Those two chips are like my favorite, I'd say. What does that have to
do with Cheetos? Well, no, because I'm trying to think if either of those you think could translate from, say, a potato chip to a Cheeto. Or do you think that flavor profile is
what
you want?
Cheeto needs cheese.
You think so?
Cheetos need cheese. I think if we do a barbecue situation, I don't think it's going to work. If we do a honey mustard version, I don't think it'll lend itself. I will look at it and desire it to be cheesy.
Interesting.
And the thing about Doritos is Cool Ranch is like cheese adjacent. You know what I mean? Because it's dairy. So like it satisfies it.
I mean, not every Doritos flavor necessarily, like Salsa Verde, for instance, right? That's got no dairy.
It has no cheese. How do you know? There's no cheese.
I don't think there is. There might be, but I don't believe there is. So I'm saying Doritos, they're associated with nacho cheese, but you're not necessarily getting cheesiness and everything. But for some reason, I agree with you. The Cheetos needs to have some sort of cheese component because a honey mustard Cheeto would probably be pretty delicious. I'd probably enjoy it, but it doesn't feel right.
But it doesn't feel right. Like when I see a Cheeto, I know I'm getting cheese no matter what. And I like that. I enjoy that.
Salt and vinegar Cheetos.
Ugh, I hate salt and vinegar. Never.
Well, what we're really saying, Nicole, is we demand more Cheeto autonomy.
Cheetonomy.
You know? Cheetonomy. We need more cheetonomy out there. We need more free market cheetopitalism.
Cheetopitalism?
We need more options.
Yeah.
Because Crunchy versus Puffs, I mean, I'll fully come around and say that I agree that Crunchy is de facto the better Cheeto.
It's better.
It's the better Cheeto.
Yeah.
Even if I reach for Puffs or fries or the little balls you can shove in your mouth, you play Chubby Bunny.
Chubby Bunny.
You know? I agree that Crunchy are the one to build around. I think they're doing a disservice by not building around the Crunchy Cheeto better with more flavors, and we deserve better. We riot at Frito-Lay at dawn.
Cheetotonomy. Cheetotomony. Is that the right word? Cheetotonomy?
Cheetotomony.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
All right, Nicole, you've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
Before we start, we have a quick announcement. Our very own Trevor Everts has a new podcast coming out named Trevor Talks Too Much. Because if you couldn't tell that, Trevor talks a lot, like too much.
Yeah, too much. We'd really like him to shut up. And
no,
so instead of him we want him to talk to other people. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know what I mean. And so Trevor's going to be talking to your favorite influencers, TikTokers, mm-hmm. music artists, gamers, streamers, literally anybody you have ever cared about. Your grandma, your dead pet dog. Trevor will talk to them on this podcast. So make sure to go follow the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We just kind of stopped talking. I forgot we still have our own podcast. We're trying to gas up Trevor.
We're so proud of him. Go listen.
And he really does have the gift of gab.
5 stars on all pod. If you can rate the podcast, give it 5 stars.
Please. Actually, yeah, that's a big thing that helps because then when your self-esteem is down, you go look at your podcast rating.
Yeah, give him some 5 stars. Write a nice note.
It doesn't like do anything, actually, but it's nice for us.
Confidence boost, baby.
And don't troll and leave 1-star reviews.
Don't leave 1-star reviews.
Pop-Tarts aren't ravioli. Just tell that to me to my face, Kevin. All right, first up, we got at BetsyRose23. Maple flavored bacon jerky is the best jerky that exists, way better than regular beef jerky. My problem with bacon jerky is it's just bacon.
I don't like bacon jerky.
It's bacon in a bag.
I like beef jerky.
Bacon.
Beef jerky.
Yeah, bacon is kind of already halfway to jerky if you're cooking it crispy, right? You know what I mean? You ever had bacon jerky?
Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah, it tastes like a dog treat.
Yeah, it's worse bacon. I don't really understand that, but I understand the want to put as much liquid smoke, sugar, and salt in your body as possible. And so that's a pretty good way to do it, is that maple bacon jerky. But no, honestly, just buy bacon bits in a jar.
True.
It's like bacon dip. You can pack a lip of bacon. It's better.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Steel Nation 19. My wife thinks it's disgusting. Great way to start any sort of opinion. But my go-to sandwich is a Braunschweiger, Vidalia onions, and white Wonder Bread.
999 Braunschweiger.
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 Please don't. Yeah, let me interpret. Excuse me.
Our people are predisposed to not want that.
Braunschweiger, I'm guessing, is some sort of brat.
Liverwurst.
Oh, really?
Braunschweiger is liverwurst. Yeah, it's like a chopped liver, but it's like mashed into a circle paste. It's great. Last time I had this was, speaking of Jews, at Marv's Deli out in Sherman Oaks.
Nice.
I woke up really hungover, and I actively crave chopped liver when I'm hungover.
That's such an interesting thing. That's such an interesting thing to like.
You can't escape your roots when you're at your most vulnerable. And so I go there. I'm like, Marv, give me a chopped liver plate. And it's just Marv in the deli. He's like an 87-year-old man. He goes, my wife made me take it off the menu. And I was like, God dang it, Marv. And he was like, nobody's ordered it in 3 years. Like, well, I did, Marv. And then he's like, you got a union job? And I was like, can I have a Braunschweiger sandwich instead? Point is, Marv gave me a Braunschweiger sandwich, and it was really freaking delicious. Just chopped liver, but homogenous, a little bit more set, really well seasoned, great with Vidalia onions. I'd put a little bit of spicy brown mustard on that as well. Fantastic.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we got at Kitty Chaotic. Oh, I hate this so much. Muffins are a fork food. If muffins aren't a hand food, what is?
It depends on the size of the muffin. If it's a big-ass muffin, you gotta fork it.
What's an ass muffin?
If it's a large-ass muffin, if it's a muffin with a large butt.
Muffin got cakes.
If the muffin's too thick to be handheld, you gotta use assistance with a fork.
If a muffin too thick, you must acquit. That's what they say. When you said it's a size issue, I was imagining like a bunch of tiny little muffins that you ate with a fork. I was like, what kind of small muffins is Nicole eating?
Those little bites. Yeah, those are fine.
Oh, God, those are good.
Like, whenever you get, like, one of those XL, like, brand
coffee,
muffins.
Like, the big coffee shop
muffins. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you need assistance.
I don't think you do, though. Do you just have that little self-confidence to be able to, like, shovel it all in your mouth?
Nothing to do with confidence.
Well, no, I'm saying you should have the confidence in your own body.
I am fully self-confident in eating something with my hands.
You're a narcissist. You're vain. You're not confident. I'm just saying.
No. I just think whenever you're dealing with something, like, whenever you're out... And, like, you're out and about at a coffee shop.
Just a woman about town eating a muffin? Like in Sex in the City?
Yeah, like, you know, like, it's not, like, it's too round. And, like, you need to cut it in half. And you need to, like, take a little nibbles.
No, you rip the top off. You fold that in half. You compress it a little bit. You shove that in your mouth.
See, I hate when people take their like, baked goods and they squash them with their hands. You're getting rid of all the fluffiness, all that beautiful rise you got. You're just screwing it up by squishing it between
What
your
I
fingers.
Do with my muffins between me and God. I don't, but a fork doesn't even solve, because I see the issue with that muffins are very crumbly, you get crumbs everywhere, but a fork makes that worse to me. You have less dexterity with a fork. And also, they're for effeminate Italians, according to the Church of England in the 17th century. Not my opinion.
I love a good
That's
effeminate
offensive.
Italian.
I don't believe in gender essentialism, but I do believe in eating with your hands.
Next opinion.
Fine.
Greg Cherry Brand says, there's only one proper way to eat a Hostess cupcake. Swirl first, then cupcake, then chocolate. So does
How do you...
I don't think you can remove the swirl.
I was going to say, the swirl is an endemic part of...
Yeah, it's like in the chocolate.
How do you even
so
take
I
it
think,
off?
So I think what they do is they go with their finger and they scrape it in the pattern of the swirl, okay?
Interesting.
They eat that first.
Interesting.
And then they remove the top, and then they eat the cake, and then they do the chocolate part last. Thank you very much.
Nicole, rest her case. I think this guy's weird. I don't know what to tell you.
I think it's a great... You know, I eat my Kit Kats in a very unorthodox way.
How do you
a
Kit
la
Kats?
Kourtney Kardashian.
Oh, my God. I one like of the top three Kardashians.
I eat all the sides. And then I lift the top off, eat the top, and then I lift the bottom off, eat the bottom, and then I eat the center wafers.
I've been trying to eat the apple pie Kit Kats for about 2 years, ever since they hit shelves, and I haven't been able to find them.
I'm going
to
buy
really
them
like
for
them.
You right now.
Can
Josh.
You please? That'd be yes. really awesome. Yeah, I get everything about the Hostess cupcake thing except for eating the swirl first. If you're just eating the cake from the bottom up, you know, eating bottoms, that's fine. But no need to remove the swirl. All right, we got at Nick J. This morning I tried eating my scrambled eggs with bolognese, and it was surprisingly very delicious. In my mind, a less holy version of shakshuka. Everyone should give it a try. Nicole, you ordering those Kit Kats?
Yeah, I just got them on Amazon. They're
no
coming
way.
Tomorrow. They're coming
Apple
tomorrow.
Pie?
They're coming tomorrow.
Dude, what a good day. See, I need to realize that
say
I have...
thank you.
To whom?
To me.
Oh, thank you, Kit Kat, for being a Kit Kat.
No, say thank you, Nicole for being proactive and giving me what I want.
Thank you for giving me the tools to help myself.
This man is ridiculous.
Bolognese and eggs.
I'm
less
down.
Holy shakshuka.
I'm down.
Speaking of less holy shakshuka, it's literally called Eggs in Purgatory.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
Uovo al purgatorio, I'm saying in Italian, probably.
You eat it with a fork or with your hands?
I do the scarpetta with flatbread.
I love scarpetta.
Scarpetta.
Some people don't know what scarpetta means, and I believe it is the act of taking bread and soaking up the liquid of your food that you're eating.
Yeah, I think it, I always thought it came from like the Latin root to like scrape.
Maybe.
I know, I think it's like boot. Oh. And there's some weird roundabout translation. Maggie's click-clacking over there, looking up. But yeah, the scarpetta, taking the bread, wiping it, and all the juices on your plate.
It is a wonderful food experience.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, shout out to the Italians.
Shout out to, who opened scarpetta? The guy that opened
oh,
scarpetta.
Scott Conant.
Shout out to Scott Conant.
Yeah, he had a restaurant called Scarpetta.
Yes, he did. And I was very young when it opened in Beverly Hills, and I always wanted to go with my friends. Like, hey, guys, let's try this really cool Italian restaurant. Like, we're 16, like, we didn't have our own money and stuff. And they're like, it's too expensive because the spaghetti was, like, $19. And
$19
now we go.
Spaghetti, too, yeah.
And now we go and we spend $25 on spaghetti.
Ugh!
Missed
it was
an opportunity.
It was a perfectly good restaurant.
Yeah, come back to Beverly Hills. Make another restaurant. I want
to
eat it.
Shout out to Patricia Cornwell, who wrote a book series starring a character named Kay Scarpetta. Yeah, Scarpetta means to make the little shoe.
Nice. That's
hey,
very nice.
Collect the remaining sauce in the dish. But yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay. Shenanigan Gandalf says, my wife says a bowl of melted cheese counts as soup, and I need you guys to settle this. Please.
My wife. That was a monologue from the 2009's Borat.
I love
Cultural
Borat.
Learnings of America for make improvements glorious nation Kazakhstan?
I think so. Something like that. I love Borat.
Depends on the cheese.
I also love cheese.
Depends on the cheese.
Yeah. No, I think melted... First of all, Tell me one cheese that you can just melt and it doesn't stick everywhere.
Velveeta.
Okay,
cream.
That's one. That's two.
Mascarpone.
Mascarpone doesn't count.
Neufchâtel.
No.
Brie.
No, brie sticks.
Shrimp and potatoes. Shrimp salad. Shrimp stew. I've been on a real big boat.
It's not soup. It's not soup. It is just melted cheese.
What if you add milk to it? Have you ever had like cream? There's like, I think it's called cream of cheddar from Campbell's.
No, I've never had it.
It's just
I've seen it. Yeah, I don't deal with it.
I mean, if they can pass that off as soup, that's what this comes down to. If you believe that Campbell's Soup Corporation, world leader in soups, which I think they're really hurting at this time because everyone after 1990,
who eats soup?
Except for Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz likes soup?
Ted Cruz travels with his own canned soup.
What?
Weird little goblin. If you believe that Campbell's can call that soup, yeah, Maggie's now searching. I love that Maggie's just no one asked her to like start researching stuff, but she's sitting over there listening because she eventually like edits and produces this podcast.
She's just taking over
research lead, which
it's
I love.
It's great.
Yeah, Ted Cruz got freaky with 100 cans of soup after his honeymoon.
That's a weird headline.
Oh, of course it's a Vice headline. Wow, way to just tell me the news, Vice.
Your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. All right, we got at Bloom Purple Rose. I think I found peak tuna salad. Not confident already. They only think. Recently replaced half the mayo with gochujang and served it in a halved avocado. After this, no other tuna salad will be enough.
Mm, okay.
Half the mayo with gochujang. That's strong.
I know.
Gochujang is a fermented rice and pepper paste from
Korea. It's delicious.
Sweet,
everyone should have it in their fridge.
Yeah.
You never know it'll come in handy.
I think a lot of people, though, mistakenly use it as a hot sauce. Hot sauce as a concept is, like, pretty American.
Uh-huh. Is it?
In terms of having, like, a thin, homogenous sauce that you put on stuff.
Gochujang is thick.
It's thick. And then you make chokochujang by thinning it out with vinegar and some other stuff to make it more of what we would view as a hot sauce. But like most other cultures, it's a lot more pepper paste. Like think about sambals.
Sure.
Stuff like that. A lot more kind of chunky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of people cook with it in the kitchen. And they kind of just like use a lot of it. This sounds like a lot. It sounds like a lot of gochujang.
It's intense.
I don't know if I'd like it with canned tuna either.
I might. It maybe gives off like kind of like a spicy tuna vibe.
Yeah.
In like a weird way, the avocado, it's like a cheaper spicy tuna situation. I get it. It makes sense in like a weird way.
I'd rather go with sriracha on this one though.
I think the sriracha might be too acidic.
I feel that.
I understand
acid.
This
being too acidic for fish. Fish loves acid.
Mm.
You know. I love how this is the one that's really dividing us culinarily. We're all.
I know.
I'm happy you're happy. I love even in a halved avocado. You just chop up the avocado and I think it's a better eating experience, you know? Yeah, I'm really mad about this. I'm really disappointed. I'm sorry, Bloom Purple Rose.
I'm sorry,
You don't deserve this from
me.
Hey,
don't knock it. Josh, don't knock it.
I have to try it.
I have to try it.
I have all these ingredients at home.
Okay.
I eat so much canned fish.
Ian Colley says, matzah are a pretty lit breadcrumb option. During Pesach, when I can't have one cup of rice at dinner, I crumble two matzah crackers, fry them in olive oil with grated garlic, bay seasoning, and Louisiana hot sauce. It's great for pasta, too. Does this mean that this person eats matzah instead of rice?
It sounds like that's what they do during Pesach. So
I don't do that.
No, your folks, rice is cool, right?
Yeah, so Sephardim, we are good eating kinyot, which is beans and rice and stuff. And the Ashkenazis do not eat any of that stuff, which kind of sucks. Like, it's hard for you guys.
No, you see matzah all the time. This dude's dealing.
Yeah,
Ian's
sucks,
dealing.
Though.
Also, I have a feeling this person's a bodybuilder, or at least bodybuilding adjacent, because he specifically said one cup of rice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I respect that. I respect measuring out the matzahs for the macros.
Yeah.
We need more bear Jews out there.
Okay.
The bear Jew.
Are you trying to be a bear Jew?
Kinda, yeah. I think I'm
Thank you.
Kind of bear Jew. It took me a while for me to love matzahs.
Matzah's
to really
good.
Appreciate just like the stark simplicity of just that delicious like toasted grain fire flavor.
It's good.
And now I like really, really appreciate it. Like I would love to be eating a matzah right now, except I'm going... No refined flour.
Good for you.
Just because I want to try. Not from like, I want to get more shredded, but it is definitely that as well.
Okay, that's fine.
I felt the need to justify
that's
it.
That's okay. I like matzah. Sometimes I have matzah when it's not Passover. Yeah, it's good.
All right, we got at Smokey the Butch. Broke, ham and pineapple. Woke, bacon and pineapple. Bespoke, tandoori chicken and pineapple.
Honestly, sounds good.
Really?
Tandoori chicken and pineapple sounds good. Like making a pineapple chutney, if that even exists, I don't even know. I think it could definitely exist.
I love, what's that Hawaiian place we order from at work sometimes? I don't even know what it's called.
I don't know what it's called.
No,
it's not Ono. It's Moana.
Is it really?
It's Moana.
They just use the Disney? I mean, I know Moana.
I don't know. Probably not. I don't know.
I love, they do a dish that they call spicy pineapple chicken. What they do is they take chicken thighs and they just grill them and then put them in the most sugary teriyaki sauce and then a bunch of sriracha and canned pineapple. And it's delicious. So I love the like hard grilled chicken with pineapple thing. But if you're talking about this in terms of like pizza, because I think if they're talking about bacon and pineapple.
Is this pizza, a pizza?
But in what other context you have ham and pineapple and bacon and pineapple,
right? Oh my
God,
never.
That's what I'm saying. And so chicken on a pizza to me, I don't love it. Like I like a barbecue chicken pizza, but I don't even need the chicken. I just need the barbecue.
Okay, imagine this. You make a curry-scented barbecue sauce and then you you chop little pieces of chicken and then you put pineapple. You might grill the pineapple a little bit beforehand.
Rolling.
And then you put even more barbecue. And
now
then
we're
it can,
rolling.
Yeah, now it makes
now we're rolling.
This is a good idea.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. I like this. KirbyStar727 says, I eat kimchi on hot dogs. I pour some juice on the bun. Whole wheat buns can be dry. And then some kimchi, wrap them in foil, and warm them in an oven while I cook the hot dogs. And then I put the dogs on top of the warm kimchi. Amazing. Very detailed.
This is incredibly detailed.
Very. I hate hot kimchi.
I don't love it either.
I love cold kimchi.
I was just
going to
say that. I like a kimchi jjigae, like the stew.
That's good. I like kimchi jjigae, but that's the extent of my warm kimchi.
Even
experience.
Then, it's like it's one of my bottom jjigaes, you know?
Yeah.
Like I don't love, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I don't know about this. And I also prefer, but I like warm sauerkraut on hot dogs.
You do?
I don't. Warm kraut, cold mustard on hot dogs.
I like cold kraut. You know, I love sauerkraut.
As much as, I mean, I love kimchi, but I vastly prefer ice cold kimchi, just eaten straight as the banchan, as a side.
Me too.
I really love sauerkraut, though, on a hot
dog.
Me
too.
The slightly cooked flavor, like to me, kimchi, it's, especially because you're using the Napa cabbage, like the heels especially, it all gets thrown in there. That can be like kind of tough. And for me, it kind of obstructs the hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas using the white cabbage for something like sauerkraut, I think you're getting a uniform texture that, to me, sings with the uniformity of a hot dog.
Yeah. You know what you could do? You could just chop up the kimchi really fine.
I believe
fine.
That's what they do. I believe they say
like
they chop it, which I respect. Or do they not specify? No.
No.
No, they didn't specify. The kimchi juice to moisten the buns, that's an interesting choice
I don't like
as well.
That. I
get that, because I like a fair amount of steam in my bun. That's why I boil my hot dogs. Which people think is weird.
I don't think it's weird.
That's like the way that people cook hot dogs. You boil them.
Boiling hot dogs is not weird. My preferred method, not that, but...
What is your preferred method?
So you take a knife, and then you cut little slits in the hot dog.
No,
and then you put it in a skillet with a little bit of oil. And
you're
then
letting it split? You're pre-splitting it? You're doing like the cesarean on a hot dog?
No, I'm giving it like pretty little marks. I'm giving it little like cuts.
Episiotomy, not cesarean. Episiotomy.
Is that when you cut the...
Yeah.
Ouch.
I know. You're doing that to
Ouch.
Your hot dogs.
No,
right? Think about that.
Why are you associating a hot dog with an episiotomy? I can't even say it.
Episiotomy. It's not that hard.
Why are you equating the two? They're two very different experiences.
Don't Google image it, though.
I know. I don't need to.
I mean, we should all be familiar with, like, the reproductive, you know, it's...
The human body.
On that note, thank you for stopping by. A hot dog is a sandwich. We got new hot dogs, new sandwiches, all the new podcasts coming out of the Mythical Kitchen, and new episodes every Wednesday. That nailed that one.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casserole, so Josh can talk more about episiotomy.
So NSYNC would say episiotomy.
You can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Nhendizada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchens where Nicole and I work, you can check us out on YouTube. We launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures
of
your dishes, hit us up on Instagram.
Of course, where else would you do it?
At Mythical Kitchen.
Yeah, don't
send us
come
pictures.
Come to our house with pictures
of the
FPC
foods.
We'll see you next time.